Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. John, how are you?
Well, you think you guys are going to be in Houston this time next week doing the show?
You tell us.
No, if we're doing a show next week, it'll be in Kansas City.
That's the truth.
So, Titans and Ravens, Texans and Chiefs. Let's start with just Titans Ravens thoughts from you. What are you expecting tomorrow night?
I think the Ravens are the best team in the league, and they're probably going to beat them. But what the Titans got going for them is Derrick Henry. If he can run the ball a lot, control the clock, keep Lamar Jackson's chances minimal, then they got a chance to win. But the Ravens have won 12 in a row. John Harbaugh is an experienced playoff coach. Jackson's 0-1, I think, in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see if Mike Vrabel and DP's come up with any kind of plan that other teams have tried and been unsuccessful since they lost back-to-back games to the Chiefs and Browns.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, well, last year in the postseason, the Chargers went with that 7 defensive back look, and that was something they had not seen. The Ravens had not seen since Jackson took over as the starter down the backstretch of last season to get to the postseason. And they adjusted to that by running some heavy tight end sets this year, where teams now have to match up a little bit more. I think that's the key to the game. Can the Titans come up with something, some wrinkles? Surely Jackson has seen a lot, but can they put in some wrinkles to make some critical plays tomorrow?
They got to stop the run. Baltimore is not just because of him, but it's because they've got a great running game. Their offensive line is tremendous at run blocking. Jackson doesn't throw the ball a lot, but he threw 36 touchdown passes. So you talk about getting a lot of bang for your buck when you throw the ball and it's for touchdowns. Nobody's done it better than him. But first and foremost, they've got to stop the run.
64 touchdowns total for Baltimore. They've allowed just 18 touchdowns since week 5 in this 12-game stretch. Their defense is what has elevated them to this high level. And they benefit, John, because they get to play with leads.
That always helps the pass rushers to get sacks. And I haven't looked, but if they had to play from behind in the second half, have they ever been behind in the fourth quarter? Have they even been tied in the fourth quarter? And that's one reason they've been so impressive. But they haven't turned the ball over. You know, if they have a game where all of a sudden Lamar Jackson throws a couple interceptions and they have a fumble or two, Titans can pounce all over that.
We talked to Trent Dilfer earlier, and he said that, you know, this isn't a gimmicky deal where people are going to figure it out or get a book on it, that they put a defense in conflict at every level, and it's going to continue to be a problem for people who might do better against it, but are never going to, like, it's not going to go away or be a fad. You tend to agree with that?
Well, you think, how much can Lamar Jackson continue to run? And even though he doesn't take a lot of direct hits, he still gets hit a lot. You know, it's kind of like Derrick Henry. They're getting every possible thing out of him while they can. And it's the same thing with Jackson until he learns to be a better pocket passer and reduces the runs. You know, they run by design, but he's so resourceful and instinctive and elusive that he's going to run. The key is, how do you contain a guy when he doesn't know what he's going to do? Most of what he does is instinctive once he gets on the run. So if he doesn't know what he's going to do, the defense can't know what he's going to do.
Hey, before we get into your game analysis for this weekend, how was it in Canton with the presentations for everything that took place?
Of all the things I've done, I'm on my 44th year covering the NFL here, and it was the best experience I've ever had. And it was There's 25 of us on the Blue Ribbon panel that votes on the Centennial Class of the Hall of Fame, and it's going to be announced Wednesday. We took an original list of 300. We got it down to, kept whittling it. We had conference calls for an hour and a half. We finally got it down to the 38 finalists, and there's going to be 10 seniors, 3 contributors, 2 coaches. The reason there's 15 is the first class of the Pro Football of Fame in 1963 had to consider pro football history back to 1920, so they took 15. And Bill Belichick, John Madden, Ron Wolf, Ozzie Newsome, Bill Polian, Dick LeBeau. It was just so much experience in that room, and listening to the presentations and the debate and how much everybody had worked. Those guys had watched a lot of tape. As the Hall of Fame, it's given them tape going back as far as they had it. And it's amazing. We considered a lineman named Ox Emerson, and you'd think Ox would be a pretty big guy. And I guess he was for his time because he was 5'11", 201. You ever heard anybody 5'11", 201 call Ox? And it's made me wonder if in another 30 or 40 years, if all the players are going to be 7 foot and 450. But it was an honor to be on that committee. It was an honor to be part of the process. I presented Bud Adams. Several people talked about Bud, and I'm hopeful that he'll get in. The problem is there's a lot of stiff competition. There were a lot of terrific presentations, and I have no idea about anybody getting in because it just I tried to mark them down, and I just don't know.
The headline around the committee was planning on being unavailable for this meeting. Was Bill Belichick, in fact, on the premises?
Yeah, he was there. He wouldn't have been. He'd been on a conference call if they won. But the fact that they lost, Bill came. Bill was so interesting to listen to because when he's talking about history, whether he's narrating a thing on PBS about World War II or whether it's NFL, he is tremendous. I wish people could have seen him on our conference calls. He's so informative and insightful, and I really, really enjoyed being on there. And one of the, we had a dinner the night before. We had breaks during our 11-hour meetings so we could talk to people, listening to Dick LeBeau, whose last year was with the Titans in 2017, tell stories going back to 1959 when he was a rookie with the Lions were just hilarious.
John, let's preview Texans and Chiefs. How do you see this game going at Arrowhead? And everyone's hesitant to pick this game for Kansas City because of Andy Reid's history in the postseason. What do you think?
Well, I don't hesitate at all to pick the Chiefs. Texans won 31-24 in regular season. They controlled the ball for over 40 minutes. Patrick Mahomes still threw 3 touchdown passes, even though they had the ball for 19 minutes something, and Tyreek Hill caught 2 of them. Both of these teams have a lot better players. The Texans have new corners, top 3 corners did not play in that game. And so Chiefs have a couple of players back. Kansas City goes into the playoffs on a roll. 6 wins in a row. In that 6 games, they're giving up 11.8 points a game, which is down from 23 in their first 10 games. So they're playing great defense. And Mahomes is going in on a roll. What they do worst is run the ball and stop the run. In the Texans' first game, Carlos Hyde, who they acquired from Kansas City for a backup guard, Martinez Rankin, had 26 carries, 118 yards, and a touchdown. Watson threw a touchdown pass and ran for 2. Chiefs led 17-3 in the first quarter. Texans are the worst first-quarter offense I've seen. They get behind in every game and have to come from behind, and I don't think they can keep doing it. And Watson was fabulous after they were down 16-0 to Buffalo. He was 13 of 14, 195 yards. He had a touchdown run, touchdown pass, 2-point conversion run, 2-point conversion pass. They need to start the offense better. I blame that on Bill O'Brien, his play calling. But there's no way I'm picking them to win this game. I've got the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored 9.5. It's the biggest spread of the weekend. I've got Kansas City 30-23.
Minnesota's defense allows 19 points per game. Will it travel to Santa Clara in order to see the upset with the Vikings over the 49ers?
I was listening to NFL radio a while ago, and a couple of picked the Vikings. I'm not picking against the 49ers at home. 49ers played the toughest schedule. They played the toughest schedule down the stretch. They're good on both sides of the ball. You know, they don't really have a big home advantage playing in Santa Clara. They sell it out, but it's just not like, I guess it's hard to yell and scream when you're holding white wine in one hand. And so I think that they'll still win. Kirk Cousins, if he goes in there and pulls off another upset, people are going to see him in a whole different light.
And finally, John, Green Bay hosting Seattle. The Seahawks continue to win despite their injury concerns, and they face the red-hot Green Bay Packers, who have found a run game this season.
Aaron Jones is key for them. Since Aaron Rodgers has been there, they've lost playoff games at home. They're not invincible at Lambeau Field in January like you would think they would be. As long as Russell Wilson's on the field, Seattle's got a chance. I believe, counting the playoff game, they were 7-0 in the Eastern time zone. And I don't think that Seattle will win. I picked the Packers. This was in the Central time zone. They've got injuries in Seattle. And Matt LaFleur, along with Kyle Shanahan, are two leading candidates for Coach of the Year, but I look for the Packers to win.
John, thank you as always with your preview. We appreciate it, and we will catch up next week to recap what is your favorite round of the postseason, the divisional playoffs.
I look forward to it, and I hope you guys are here in Houston. What a game that would be, the AFC Championship between the former Oilers and the Texans. People here would go crazy.